Seja que sou.
You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Matt Frank.
Yes, Chris.
I have a question for you that maybe you specifically can answer. What kind of beer do, you know, the giant monsters, the kaiju, drink?
I don't know, because, you know, beer is really sort of a human construct, and kaiju are sort of supposed to be, I mean, thematically, they're supposed to be above humanity and all that. There's not really any evidence to
support. No, let me stop you right there.
All right, fine.
What kind of beer do people who like kaiju and giant monsters drink?
Oh, Circle Brewery.
Circle Brewery.
That stuff's great.
So you too.
Sure, hell yeah.
Oh, it's right here in Austin, yeah. Texas. Circle Brewery, they have their brew pub. You can go check out all their beers right there, and they are the official sponsor for OneOfUs.net.
Hell yeah.
You're drinking
The Hefeweizen is pretty good.
Yeah, the Circle Blur. It's my favorite, too.
Yeah, I actually just like, I don't even like beer, and I like these guys. It's nice. It's a nice flavor to it. It's good stuff.
Check out Circle Brewing, the official sponsor for OneOfUs.net, and come visit them at their brew pub in Austin, Texas. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. So there's certainly more than one way to do a twist film, but I've always felt like the best twist films out there are ones in which you watch the whole movie with a certain context of why you're seeing certain things happen. And then when it comes to the time that you never question it, you're just like, oh, the movie explains just fine. Or maybe the overall arching genre of it lets you be able to go, okay, so I can see why that's a thing there. And then the twist is, oh shit, you didn't realize that those moments actually meant something that they didn't. And M. Night launched his career with the very spectacular Sixth Sense, which did just that. It nailed that process and got it right.
Yes.
Here, all these movies later, I still don't think of Split as any kind of a sequel to Unbreakable, his second film at all. It's got a cameo at the end by David Dunn, Bruce Willis, but that's about it. But, like, this is the actual Unbreakable sequel as such, and it's like he's trying to use that Sixth Sense technique, except the problem is all those things that in the Sixth Sense you never questioned, here you're constantly going, that makes no fucking sense. Why would that possibly be like that?
The logic of everything crumbles. By the time the scene ends, nothing makes sense.
Yeah. So we are talking about Glass, the latest and probably not last, sadly, film by M. Night Shyamalan. Although I guarantee you, there's going to be some of you guys out there who are really, really going to enjoy this film. Part of it is indeed my jadedness to films, I admit, and watching these type of films and being able to say, look, man, don't sell me a load of bullshit, and then at the end, act so surprised. If you were genuinely surprised, hey, more power to you. You didn't feel like you wasted your time. But the story here, following Split with James McAvoy as a multiple personality serial killer, is still on the loose, and we see he's abducted a bunch of teenage girls still dressed in their provocative high school cheerleader outfits. Yeah, they are. And Bruce Willis, he's still walking the streets now with his son, acting as basically, what's the name of the guy for the Punisher in the van?
Oh, well, he's the guy in the chair, but I forget what the what is it?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly.
His controller, who's basically sending him messages in his earpiece.
And they use the same actor who played his son 19 years ago, which was so cool for me.
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. And so he's like on the look because he knows there's a serial killer out there and they're trying to find him, as we know, as the previous film. Bruce has to actually touch people to get flashes of like who they are, what's going on with them. So he's hoping to find the right area to touch the guy. And sure enough, he does. And there's a big showdown. And, And then the cops all show up, and the two of them get carted off to the least well-guarded psychiatric institute for the criminally insane in all of history. I mean, it makes Arkham Asylum look like the Raft by comparison.
And that's kind of when the movie starts. All that stuff is essentially like pre-scroll. Like, it could be a quick setup, and they kind of catch up people if you haven't seen Unbreakable or Split. They kind of do a quick rundown of what's happening here.
Right.
And then they get captured, and now all three, including
Samuel Jackson, who was put away at the end of Unbreakable, is in the same fucking facility.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a special therapist there, played by Sarah Paulson, who her idea is that she deals with delusions of grandeur with people who think specifically that they are superhuman beings. And she's been told, for reasons that are never made clear, that she only has 4 days, which is... if anyone even has the faintest inkling of how psychiatry works, is not possible to convince them they're not actually superheroes.
They never say what will happen at the end of 4 days. They just keep repeating how she has 4 days, but there's no point to it. And, arbitrary.
And it's a lot of, like, this is mainly James McAvoy's film, quite frankly. He gets the bulk of the screen time, with Samuel Jackson and Sarah Paulson coming in second, and Bruce Willis is a distant third. But they also introduce some of the side characters in the other movies. Like we said, Spencer Treat Clark returns as Joseph Dunn, Bruce Willis' son. Anna Taylor-Joy, who was the victim who got away and split, beyond belief, has returned in order to be empathic towards James McAvoy's character.
I feel like
character.
The only reason she's in this movie is because she tested well and Split, so they were just like, we have to get her back for this sequel.
I love
she
Anna. Must be in it. And she's great. Anna Taylor-Joy.
But there is literally no reason for a character to be in this movie.
It doesn't make sense that she would be there at all after what happened to
and
her
it's,
in that last
as
movie.
We were talking about earlier, like, it's not even one of those things that doesn't make sense that's in service of the twist. It just flat out doesn't make sense. Like, there's stuff in here that doesn't make sense. And then once things the movie unrolls, it's like, okay, this is stupid, but at least that's why that's stupid. This is stupid, and there's no reason why.
And then Charlaine Woodard plays Elijah, Samuel Jackson's mother, who's always taking care of her son and regularly visits him there in the hospital. And those are kind of the three tertiary main characters that are in here as well. The movie spends an awful lot of time with Sarah Paulson interviewing specifically James McAvoy, Kevin Wendell Crumb. And I'll say that that's the – thank goodness, because that actually is the high point of the film. I mean, much more so, I thought, even than Split. James McAvoy is all in playing these parallel – like multiple characters. And he's honestly a lot of fun to watch. He's never scary. They want him to be scary. And every time he goes into a scary personality, like, he becomes the Beast. I'm just laughing because it's so absurd.
Yeah, I actually think he might be – or Split, the movie serves his character better than this movie. I'd say he is the one highlight in the movie to me. Like, his – everything that they have him doing is stupid. All the reasons that he's doing it are stupid. But he is giving it his all. And he is just, like, a really good actor. And you could see him trying to, like, wrangle this dumb shit into, like, a good performance. But it is rough.
I really want to argue with you, Chris, because the scenes with James McAvoy, he's doing a great job. I imagine, I haven't seen Split, but I imagine in his movie he was a little bit more of a mystery character, the Beast, so that made him scarier, and so he's a little more cheesy in this film.
Right.
He's extremely well lit, he's in a room just flashing between different personalities every 2 seconds. It's kind of hard to keep up with, which I know is part of his character, but also as a viewer, I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to care about. Sarah Paulson drags for me. I love Sarah Paulson. Yeah. I love her so much. This movie made me not like her.
Well, they gave her such terrible dialogue, first off. Yeah.
And she repeated herself.
And you're constantly going, what kind of fucking psychiatric hospital has policies like this? They're like, I mean, I'm not even nitpicking. It's like right off the bat, absurd. And like I said, I think there's three people that work there. And like, there's like, in terms of like what's supposed to be like safety for the hospital, is like, first off, who would approve these things?
Yeah.
You know, like there's David is put into a room that's hooked up to a giant tank of water with the hoses pointed down, you know, where it's like, cause you know, his weakness in the first one was water. And her argument is like, well, we know you believe that your delusion is water. So we spent $1 million.
Also the defense mechanism against, the Beast, or like the flashing lights, which is personalities. There's no spoiler. It's in the trailer.
Yeah.
can't you just close your eyes and walk right up to the door?
He just
like,
turns
what
into the beast
the
and like goes, closes
up?
His eyes and just smashes the area where it is. Yeah, and he's like, it makes no sense.
He has pillowcases. He has sheets. Yeah. He could easily throw something over his head.
He could, like a little child, which one of them is a little child, could figure out if I close my eyes and walk towards this thing, I won't get the flashing lights. That, that's in the first, 20 minutes of the movie, and I was like, oh my god, is this stupid already?
Yeah.
Like, this basic plot line, it's just like, oh, just go with this here. He can't, because the lights will flash, and
to be fair, I think most movies have minor plot holes. This movie has plot craters.
Yeah.
That you can fall into, and it's very hard to stay in a movie when every 2 seconds you're like, why is there one person who works the night shift in a mansion filled with insane superheroes? Yeah. Like, I just can't get that out of my mind. I mean, there's so many different...
don't believe at all, which is, the premise. They don't believe they're actually superheroes. They do know they're dangerously violent.
James McAvoy's traps are ridiculous. it just is a normal man. I would be afraid of him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, powers be damned. This is a guy you want to keep in chains. Right? He's like a cannibal and a serial killer. You're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. The lights to protect us.
He's basically in a hotel room, but with strobes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, something I found crazy is in a lot of the scenes where James McAvoy is interacting, especially with Sarah Paulson, they don't have him chained or shackled at all. It's just the lights.
Yeah.
And then they always have Bruce Willis's character shackled.
I guess they're the argument is, once again, he's not really a superhero, yet then why is he shackled but the other guy? I mean, we get it that the other guy can be stopped by the lights, but, Bruce Willis is shackled within an inch of his life, and you're just like, yeah, but y'all don't believe he's a superhero,
Bruce
so what
Willis,
the fuck is going on
65-year-old man is shackled like nobody's business.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to one of the first things Chris said about how James McAvoy is probably the top billing character. When this movie is named Glass,
right,
we don't even meet Samuel Jackson's character until 30, 40 minutes into the film.
And then he
takes another...
For another hour before they even give him any dialogue.
Yeah. He spends... This movie is, I think, almost 2 hours long. He spends the first
over
hour...
Over 2 hours.
He spends at least 1 hour of his own movie either not in it or in a chair, twitching.
Yeah. And it's just, all these characters, as it comes out, in service of a twist that isn't even an interesting or believable twist. It's such a banal twist, and it falls apart with the slightest amount of examination. Like, this twist that, you're like, oh, God, now everything is going to be, I don't want to say, everything's going to be this way. And you're like, yeah, well, not if you know the slightest thing about how, the internet works.
Yeah.
What really makes me sad is that I know M. Night Shyamalan's whole thing is he's the guy with the twist. If he maybe had just surprised us, the real world twist would have been if he did not give us a twist in this movie.
Be
he
like,
gave
whoa.
Us the ending that he kept building up. The ending that was...
I would have liked to see that.
The whole film, I would have been pumped to see that ending.
Well, see, that's interesting you said, because I think part of this movie's issue is thematically... writing-wise, it's confused, but thematically, I think it's confused, too. It seems to be, sort of pro-comic books, pro-superhero, but maybe anti-superhero movie. There's some subtext and then some not-so-subtle subtext happening in this movie, where, he would never give us that. It seems to be the theme of this thing is, superhero movies, there's too many of them. But it's also the superhero stories are incredible. But it's also it's all over the map. The movie is very confused about what it is trying to say.
M. Night has written this thing as if he was the passionate expert about superheroes in a intellectual sort of scholarly sense. And he regularly makes gigantic mistakes with the way going on too long exposition scenes that happen multiple times in this film about said subject. It's like... The point of the first one, Unbreakable, is realizing ultimately that Glass is really, he actually believes this stuff, sure. And that's a creepy moment. Wow, that's a crazy form of psychosis you've got here. Here, it's gone from that guy is just crazy to no, this is the way the world really works. And listening to him have to detail in order to make the plot go to where they need it to by having big speeches of but in comic books, this is the sort of thing that happens now. And and explaining it, like I said, in a scholarly lecture. And I was just like, nobody wants to hear this. What are you doing?
Here's the thing. This movie is actually, he actually wrote it in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't realize that in the last 19-18 years, the world is already obsessed with superheroes and comic books. You don't have to sell me on this by giving me boring exposition about how comic books work. I know how they work. I've seen 20 Marvel movies, however, DC movies. I don't need to hear from you.
It's the central premise of the film. We literally, it helps nothing to have the character over-explain like how these are. See, now what's happening now is a thing that because it happens in comic books, it happens. It was like, none of that fits your original central premise, but
and
okay.
Even if, like, how stupid could you be? Like, these comic books, like, you know, there was like this in their first comic books, and now it's like this. That doesn't prove a point that is some sort of historical document. Like, there's no...
Well, yeah,
it's inhabited by characters who have seemingly never even heard of a comic book.
His argument originally was, like, comic books and superheroes were come from, like, ancient times where people really did start to develop some degree of real powers. And so this is based on, like, stories evolving and going to folk tales and then eventually becoming written down stories and evolving into superheroes as we know them today. Fine. Okay. And that's enough to go like, okay, so maybe some people are out there who actually do have some degree of enhanced abilities. But this goes so far as to say, yeah, but these comics, they knew the whole way. They knew every detail. Like, I'm talking about, like, sales events.
Well, one character says out loud, did you know in the first Superman he couldn't even fly? Like, it proves a big point about these people could be
real. And there was a pause, and the audience is just like, okay.
Yeah, I felt the audience, I kind of felt them silently be like, so what? Like, yeah. it's really bad.
And did you have more of a point? Or, oh, that was your point. Cool.
No, I get what he's going for. He's like, because they're trying to argue that this movie is about to get amped up to 11. Like, you remember the first movie where they were all like, they're superpowered, but they've done superpowered, but, you know, only kinda, right? Like, the movie wants to make the argument that he's just at the beginning. Like, he could become a full-fledged Superman, right? Unfortunately, this movie only cost $20 million. So guess what's going to happen? Not that.
Well, yeah. David Dunn probably on a level would be maybe a Luke Cage. He's basically an old white man Luke Cage.
Oh, sweet Christmas. I was talking about a Luke Cage with you.
Sorry, I like me some Luke Cage.
I do too. I'm just teasing. All right, so let's go to final thoughts so we can talk spoilers here. Kim, get us started.
So this movie... Already, I came into this movie wanting to see Samuel L. Jackson's character. He was my favorite part of Unbreakable, which I saw for the first time yesterday. Don't really think it held up. It was kind of slow for a superhero action movie. It was had a lot of problems that this movie had as far as a lot of exposition, a lot of doubling down on superhero comic book talk. That wasn't interesting. Comic books are very interesting, but he has found a way to make them dull to me. And even worse, he's found a way to make Sarah Paulson dull to me. I love this woman. Shame on you. I would say I do like the action scenes. I like that we got to see a lot of the Beast at work. We didn't get to see enough interaction between all of three of them, which I think is what they really hyped up in the trailer and what I was excited to see. I think they were all together maybe a total of 10 minutes in this film. So that was a little bit disappointing. I don't know if I went into this having expectations that were too high or if I was just promised different things in the trailer, but I left feeling pretty disappointed. And the twist was not satisfying whatsoever. If anything, like I said, I would have preferred to see... The before the twist, what they said the ending was going to be. I would have much preferred to see that. I would give this movie 5 out of 10 fly purple suits.
Alan?
All right, yeah, so I will start off by saying I really, really, really enjoyed Split. And I rewatched Unbreakable after watching Split. And I kind of agree with you. It didn't hold up as much as I thought it would. I remember loving it when it first came out. It's not bad by any means. It's just with the superhero... life that we're living now, essentially, in popular culture. There's some things that has come off as really cheesy or, like, he's, like, explaining away superheroes, which is doubled down on in this movie. I think this movie's really just clunky and disjointed, and if you're watching this movie and you feel like it's disjointed, wait till you get to the third act, because it's even worse. It gets really stilted, and there's no sense of tension or building to anything. It just kind of falls apart, and characters are... seemingly just standing in one space because it's convenient, and then they appear in another frame. It's just really poorly made. Everything about it is frustrating, except for James McAvoy. I think he's really doing his hardest. There's a couple good scenes, acting moments between him and Sam Jackson, him and Sarah Paulson. Like, he really goes for it, and those are entertaining. But other than that, I find very little to like about it. I'm going 2 out of 10 good M. Night Shyamalan movies.
This is a movie where, like, I was crossed my fingers the whole time because I love the original Unbreakable. I've seen it I don't even know how many times. And I just thought, especially at the time, we hadn't had a what if superheroes existed in the real world movie. It was like, whoa, this is really, really cool. And you didn't know when you were watching it that that's where it was going. You're like, whoa, that's crazy. That's what this movie's about. Especially after Sixth Sense. So you were expecting like a horror movie. It was like, oh, this is totally something different entirely. Now a lot of time has passed, and this just seems kind of trite at this point. And it, like I said, it's nowhere near as good a film as that first one. It reaches for not enough, and even that it can't grasp. It feels like he keeps claiming he wrote this whole thing in 2001, and I'll be honest, I don't. I don't believe him. I believe him completely. I don't believe it because there's too much stuff in here that like feels like it's a reaction to other things.
And but if he did,
thought out one and
give it another draft. Let's go over this thing.
Like you spent this much time working on the script, and this is the thing you came up with.
Let's imagine it's perfect.
But I do want to say I think why McAvoy works for me here, and he didn't work for me in Split. Personally, I know you enjoyed it, but for me, it didn't. I just didn't think he was scary, and there wasn't they spent too much time on any given one character there. Here, the reason he's fun is because partially of the nature of the lights, and also just because of as it moves into its third act with various reasons for him to have to switch faster, he's constantly snapping in and out of characters, including a bunch of new personalities, and it's funny as shit to watch him, and he's really giving it his all, and the Beast is not scary. The Beast is just ridiculous. It looks like the guy definitely needed a Tylenol after every scene of doing it. His whole thing is just strain all your body. Just strain everything. Yeah. Pretend like you got the worst shit ever dying to come out. You are so constipated.
It's funny because I feel exactly like that's the reason he works in Split to me. It's because like I find him to be scary, and like it took a while to get all these characters out. And then this one, it's like they realize he's really good at it, and they're like putting it at the front of the movie, and then it's like kind of lost some of its power.
I guess it's because I didn't find him scary in the first one. It was just boring. And here it's like, oh, now it's an amusement show. You're dancing for my amusement. Yes. Thank you, James McAvoy.
He's fun to watch perform.
Makes it a lot more fun. And that goes a long way because he really is the guy with the most amount of screen time on this film. And there is some degree of just like, I'm rooting for this. I want to see where it's going. I'm paying really close attention. I don't think things are like horrible, but they're not great. And then when you finally realize that that's where they're going to end it at in the third act, you're like, oh, come on. Really? Like all that shit I sat through going, well, wait, give him time. And no.
We were rooting for you.
Not really. I'm going to give this 3 out of 10 really easy to get out of rooms at a psychiatric institute.
Oh, this is your lowest I think you've ever done with me on.
Oh, really? I've done much lower, believe me. So we're going to go to spoilers. So everyone, if you want, give you a chance in case you're fumbling for your MP3 player or whatever it is that you're listening to this on to say, oh God, I don't want to hear spoilers. I want to see this for myself. So you got it? You got it out of the way? Okay. So just want to say, I get it. He probably only watched a few X-Men cartoons or films and went like, oh, what if the real bad guys are like the fucking, what's his face from the X-Men? The government who run the Sentinel program and shit, except in the real world version of it, where their whole deal is, we don't want none of you superpowered folk here. We kill superpowered folk.
Well, I'm happy we brought this up because this is what I was talking about, like the subtext of like this movie being anti-superhero movie. Because, like, it seems like what he's saying is these people, it's like, once one of you pop up, another one pops up. Another one. And he's like, these people are, this movie's tamping down superhero movies. It's like, once one's here, is another one. And the world, it's off balance. Like, the world of film and movies. And I hate, one of my least favorite things is that, like, oh, there's too many superhero movies, it's saturated. There's a shit ton of other movies. And once I started, like, picking up on that message of this movie, it's like Birdman to me. It's like, another just like, all right, we get it. Fuck you, man.
Yeah, but
like,
Birdman was brilliant.
But I don't like Birdman that much. But like, it is another reason why it's just like it's very pretentious. This is less pretentious and way dumber. But
I'm talking about not dumb. The supervillains all have little tattoos on their wrists.
Oh, yeah. Very, it's fairly obvious ones.
In on and holes for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I've never sighed so loudly in my whole life.
Yeah. Like, oh, weird little reveal is that, right?
Is it a four-leaf clover? What is it? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, presumably he's already writing a sequel that hopefully he'll never get. But yeah, that whole thing is Sarah Paulson's the leader of the group. They're why go through all this trouble if the only thing you're planning on doing is fucking killing them anyway?
Yeah.
It's this huge elaborate plot that makes no sense and no one would ever pay for, first off.
Yeah.
That like you're like, okay. And then to be like the double twist is like, oh, but Mr. Glass knew that you were like this secretly, this society, and he actually found a way to save all the footage of all the shit that happened and like sent it on the internet. So now everyone will know superheroes and supervillains are real, except it's the fucking internet.
Yeah. Everyone will say it's fake.
They're supposed to be, even if people don't do that. There's this super powerful coalition of like government people and stuff. You don't think they just come out and go, yeah, here's the videos of how they shot this and they did it. And like everyone would go, okay. And that would be the end of it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're real smart, Mr. Glass.
I mean, even if the idea of those videos is supposed to go out to someone who has powers, maybe they think they might do it and they see that and they're like, you know what? I really do have powers. Like, the power of that video would be the same power of watching like a superhero movie, like watching something kind of unbelievable and thinking, oh, I think I could do that too. There's no like weight to it at all. And the movie treats it like it's a fucking bombshell. Like the music is dramatic. Sarah Paulson's face drops. She turns. She literally
bends over screaming.
Yeah. It's so absurd.
The video would be discouraging to somebody with blossoming superhero powers. Like, oh, if I show this to anybody, they will kill me in a fucking puddle in the ground.
And also, you're just like, Jesus Christ, you're just going to fucking murder the main character from Unbreakable like this to serve your twist? Do you think anybody likes that?
Anything.
Yeah, you're just like, wait, what? Fucking James McAvoy got more of a romanticized death than he did. He died in a dirty puddle. It was like,
you don't even see his face.
What the fuck, movie?
Bruce Willis is like, I'm done. Yeah. It's like, fuck.
I think they had Bruce Willis for like 2 days, honestly. Bruce Willis was so not in.
You don't see Bruce Willis' face during his death scene at all.
But yeah, barely anyway.
Like, there's like one shot. Like, also, that's when I was talking about the clunkiness. When Sarah Paulson comes up, it's like, take my hand, like, touch me. Because she wants him to see where she, like, and that is such a clunky, like, in the tension building, like, that is so weird.
You know what would have made sense is if the scene he saw was a superpowered person killing her parents.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Anything.
Like, where she's got a reason, she's, like, unlike Glass, she's the exact opposite. She doesn't want superpowered people to become what they're supposed to become. She wants them all to die. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, well, that would have felt more thematic inside of that. But no, it's just like, here's a scene so you can see there's a secret society of people who hate
superheroes. And speaking of character arcs, Glass is the main character of this movie. His character arc is the exact same as it was in Unbreakable.
That's true.
Like, he wants to prove this is real. He kind of gets that proof for himself at the end of Unbreakable, and he's, like, satisfied. Flash forward 20 years later, same thing. He wants to prove it's real. At the end, he's satisfied. It's the exact same arc. And it's just really bad, lazy writing. There's no real sequel to characters' growth thematically. They're all in the same places. The only thing that's changed is James McAvoy's here now doing a bunch of different characters, which is fun to watch.
At least he gets to play off. And I'll admit, the scenes are well played, even though they make no sense, between him and Anna Taylor-Joy. She's a really good young actress. He's a really great actor. And they managed to wring some emotion out of you watching those scenes, even though you're like, wait, why are you here? Yeah. Why would you give a shit about this guy at all, except to stay, like, on an opposite coast from him?
Yeah.
And, like, but it actually, they do play well together. I'll give them that.
The scene is good. I watched the scene. I was like, man, that was good. And I was like, but what?
Why is it happening?
And I know you haven't seen Split, but if you had, like, you know,
I read the Wikipedia page on it, but
that pretty much tells you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
There's nothing in Split that would show you that she would want to be involved in this at all.
All right. Well, I think we said our piece. Guys, go out there and tell us we're wrong. I can't wait.